Welcome to episode 48 of the Robot Report podcast, which brings conversations with robotics innovators straight to you. I'm Steve Crow, editorial director of the Robot Report. Thanks, as always, folks, for tuning in. If you haven't already subscribed, you can find us anywhere you get your podcasts, Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify. You get the idea. Please subscribe, leave us a rating, give us a review. Joined, as always, by Mike Oitzman, editor of our robotics group. Mike, what's going on, man?
Hey, Steve. You won't believe it's raining this morning. So we're out here in California. It's been 100 plus degrees and lots of smoke, and we got some rainy weather. So enjoying a nice cool morning, and hopefully it's soaking some of that smoke out of the air.
Yeah, we actually had some hazy air late last week out here in Western Massachusetts. So
yeah,
coming all the way over from you guys. So well, that's good. I guess some rain should help some things over there. But the big story of late, Mike, as you know, and will be our sole focus of today's podcast, ABB last week acquired ASTI Mobile Robotics. They're a Spanish developer of a variety of mobile robotics systems. I had the chance to sit down with Sammy Atia. He's the president of ABB's robotics and discrete automation business, and Veronica Pasquale. She's the CEO and owner of ASTI Mobile Robotics. I had a chance to sit down with them last week, so we'll play that interview a little bit later on the episode. But we're going to do a little three-man weave here, Mike. Something different for today's episode, because it is such a big deal. Joining us from across the pond to share his perspective on the acquisition is Ash Sharma. He's the managing director of market intelligence company Interact Analysis. If you guys don't know Interact Analysis, we highly encourage you to check out all their research. I think, Ash, you have a new report coming out on mobile robotics, but you can find all their work at interactanalysis.com. Ash, thanks for being here, man.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Steve. Yeah, great to chat to you both. And just to add, it's raining here in London too.
Yeah. So, I mean, just general, I know this is a very broad question, but when you saw the news last week of ABB acquiring ASTI, just sort of your general initial reaction to the news?
Yeah. I think it was surprising on one hand and not surprising on another. I guess it's just been a matter of time before some of the, you know, the big industrial automation and robotics vendors got into mobile automation. They've been a little slow and conservative, let's say, so far. So not surprised in a way, because mobile automation and mobile robotics is coming into their industry big time.
Yeah, well, I think on the surface, you know, it looks like a great move by ABB to expand into mobile robots, you know, especially so, you know, this gives them another piece in their arsenal of solutions. And I think from what we read and from what Sammy said in the interview, again, they've been working together for many years, it seems, at a couple of mutual customers.
Yeah, I mean, it's complementary, right? Having fixed industrial robots and then mobile automation, they're highly complementary, and it's a great offering for the customer that simply wants to, you know, optimize their manufacturing. So it's great. It's great for the customers of ABB.
You know, you mentioned, Ash, in your first answer there, that it was sort of a matter of time before these large industrial manufacturers moved into the mobile space. And that's one of the questions that I asked Sammy in the interview was, and again, I didn't want to phrase it the wrong way, and I might have phrased it the wrong way with him, but, you know, I think I asked him, is there any sort of regret that you didn't get into this space a little bit earlier on? Meaning, could ABB have developed such systems themselves internally and maybe not? And we have no idea what they paid to acquire ASTI. I know we can get into that a little bit later on as well. But was there any regret not getting into this space a little bit earlier, maybe developing these systems internally? And he said, you know, the timing right now is perfect. So he said even 5 years ago, it was probably a little bit too early for mobile robotic systems. And he actually, I guess, during his PhD 25 years ago, Sammy built a mobile robot with, I think, it was a mobile manipulator, I believe. So, I mean, do you agree? I mean, it seems like with the Fetch acquisition, you know, Six River was acquired a couple of years ago. These systems are no longer, you know, proving their worth. I think there's a general understanding now that they are very, very valuable to all different types of material transportation applications.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of funny because we obviously years and years ago we had acquisitions, some of the big ones like Kiva and Amazon, and then obviously Omron acquired Adept. And yep. Then there was a bit of a,
a lull, basically, right?
Yeah. I mean, there was a pause in acquisitions, and there was a different strategy where a load of these mobile robot companies were just, you know, seeking VC funding rather than a buyout altogether. So in terms of acquisitions, there haven't really been that many. You know, obviously Teradyne made a few in the space with AutoGuide and Mir and so on. So it's been sort of just a long time coming in a way. But for us who actively look at the mobile robot industry, it's really exciting, but you kind of, once you get outside of that bubble, you realize it's actually very small, you know, to an ABB, acquiring a company with revenues of 50 million, which is what ASTI's targeting, that's still pretty small change, right?
Sure.
Compared to their overall business. So I'm not surprised that they waited this long in a way, and I'm not surprised they see it as a, the right time, because some of these mobile robot companies are really, you know, generating very little in terms of turnover, comparatively speaking, right?
So, yeah, I think it's been, you know, a little bit of the survival of the fittest, Ash, as we've been watching the, you know, the mobile robot market grow, you know, in terms of number of vendors. Not everybody's profitable, certainly, yet. But with AST targeting 50 million and Mir, I think, increased their revenue and sales by 55% in Q1 to 14 million from what we saw in their Q1 results. And I think Q2 results come out shortly, putting them on pace for 56 million for 2021. And 1% growth in sales of 45 million in 2020. So, you know, in that around the same ballpark. What are you seeing and who are you, you know, from conversations you've had in terms of, you know, the leaders in this space?
Yeah, good question. I mean, there's so many companies, you know, we're tracking over 100, 150 companies. Mm-hmm. And, they all have quite different strategies in a way. Mm-hmm. Many of the ones which are sort of VC backed, they're going off this land and expand type strategy where they're just trying to pick up as many major customers as possible. And like you say, a lot of them are loss making, and they're betting on this market that it's going to turn long term into a huge potential, which almost certainly will, right? The other thing to think about is that when you look at mobile robots, there's just so much different opportunity within warehouses, within factories to automate. So, and there's so many different types of mobile robotics that are solving different solutions, whether it's, you know, something that a Mir is doing or a Locus or a Fetch. Mm-hmm. They're all sort of targeting slightly different processes and functions within those warehouses. So it's hard to compare apples for apples, who's a leader and who's not.
Yeah.
Here's the question that I want to ask you, Ash.
Yeah.
How much did ABB pay for ASTI? And again, they haven't released the numbers. I don't know if we'll ever be able to find that exact figure, but yeah. And it seems like different acquisitions fall under different calculations, right? So Fetch a couple of weeks ago was acquired for $290 million by Zebra.
Yeah.
Fetch, from a revenue standpoint, seems to be much, much smaller, about one-fifth the size of ASTI Mobile Robotics. Fetch does about $10 million in annual revenue, while, again, ASTI is on target for $50 million. So that was a 10.5x number on Fetch Robotics. So again, if you take that same formula for ASTI, you know, say they made about 40-ish million dollars last year, that would be roughly $450 million-ish. Do you think it's somewhere in that ballpark, or do you think it's much less than that?
Oh, yeah, that's a good question. I think if I had to make a guess, then I'd say it'd probably be around the 300 mark, but it could even be lower in a way. I know there's been some seriously high valuations and multiples. You know, you saw Fetch, you saw Six River and so on. I think the difference is they were all, you know, they have private equity involved. Obviously wanted a decent return on their investment, whereas this is an acquisition of a privately held company. They're probably, you know, happy with a valuation, a lower valuation given given the ownership stake. So yeah, I'd guess a bit lower, but still a decent chunk of change.
You know, I actually want to dig in more to Asti. You know, frankly, I didn't know much about them before this acquisition happened. I don't know if you guys are in the same boat as me, but talking to Veronica, and we get into it a little bit in the interview that we'll play here in a little bit. Family owned business, started when I think it was 1982, I think it was was founded. They claim that they have one of the, you know, largest installed fleets of AMRs throughout Europe. They're operating in 20 companies. It's grown close to 30% on an annual basis since 2015, but it hasn't always been sunshine and roses for them. Again, family-owned business struggling way back in 2004, still in the warehousing business, not offering robots, but they were struggling. So they brought Veronica on to kind of turn things, hopefully turn things around, which clearly she had done. And she acquired the company from her parents back in 2008. So I think, Ash, I think you're probably pretty right that regardless of what that figure is, I think the Pasquale family is probably pretty thrilled today.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, it looks like it could be. I don't know how long Veronica's planning to stay on there, but if it's a long-term thing and they build out this offering, it could be, you know, it could be a real enticing opportunity for them. Because I think like Asti, a lot of these companies, are these mobile robot companies, are in a similar position where they, you know, they need to make that decision. They're getting to that level of scale that significant investment is needed to get to the next level. You know, a lot of work, and most of these are startup companies, and you know, they're at that point where they have, I guess, considering cashing in their chips. And I probably would have done a similar thing.
So Asher, you follow Europe a little bit closer than I have, and certainly with more depth in being closer to the time zone, talking to European customers. You know, so I was tracking Asti, you know, over the last year. Certainly, they were very quick to turn around a solution for the disinfection market. Basically, took their platform, got together with one of the leading UV light manufacturers, and built a solution, a family of solutions actually, but I haven't seen a lot of them here in the U.S. So I think their biggest presence probably is in Europe. What are your thoughts about or things you've heard from customers in sort of following their market presence in Europe? I mean, certainly Sammy and Veronica position them as one of the leading European mobile robot companies. But what's your take on that claim?
I mean, on these UV ones, you mean, or in
well, just general? Across the board for all of the applications and market segments that Asti's in.
Yeah, I mean, they're very strong in automotive. They got a very strong position in auto, and obviously there's, you know, a big number of automotive production plants in the sort of Southern Europe region, which they're particularly strong at. And there hasn't really been any major competitors targeting that in a way. So they have found themselves with quite a sweet spot there. Obviously, they themselves acquired a small German company as well, Asti did in, I don't know what year it was, a few years ago, 3 years ago maybe now. So they've been pretty ambitious in their growth plans. And, I think we ranked them number four last year in Europe. So they had a pretty sizable market share. And I think they've done a good job in those manufacturing plants and, places like food and beverage as well, where they've built up a real strong customer base.
So Ash, we ran a piece from you a couple of weeks ago. You shared your thoughts and an analysis on Zebra's acquisition of Fetch Robotics. Yeah. Again, folks who haven't read that, you can check it out at interactanalysis.com. But again, for me on the surface, it's, you know, Zebra wanted to add another tool to their portfolio. So they add Fetch's mobile robotics to their portfolio. Same thing here for ABB. As Mike alluded to, they want another tool in the tool shed there. So now they have the mobile robots from ASTI, but beyond that, you know, any sort of similarities or even major differences between the Zebra acquisition of Fetch and ABB's acquisition of ASTI?
I mean, I think it's pretty clear that both ABB and Zebra will be looking at mobile robots as a growth engine and an area of opportunity for them to build on. I think that there's huge synergies for both companies, obviously from a different perspective for each. ABB, one of the largest industrial robotics vendor, has, you know, a huge number of customers that are already looking to deploy mobile robots, and they can now offer like a full suite, which is kind of what Omron has done with the ADEPT platform, has been able to offer, you know, a whole solution to customers, and ABB can do the same thing now. Zebra, I guess it's a little different that they're not like a large sort of integrator. They're more selling technology and software. But I think their outreach, their scale, their, you know, just the vast number of salespeople they have that already have clients in warehousing will be a huge, huge bonus for Fetch, because obviously they've been doing most of their selling directly. You know, they hadn't gone down the approach of MIR and using you know, hundreds of distributors and integrators. Mm-hmm. So I think this move for Fetch could really, really speed up their growth.
So I guess that begs the big question then that I think we've all been sort of pondering is this a trend? Do you think this is going to kick off some other acquisitions? Is it a case now of some of the remaining, you know, industrial robotic arms sort of looking longingly over the fence here that maybe they don't have mobile robotics in their portfolio and it's time to find a solution? You know, again, we've got companies like Fanuc and Yaskawa and KUKA, you know, and then a whole bunch of companies in Asia, robotic arm companies. You think that's a viable thought that there's going to be more acquisitions in the, you know, months and quarters to come that might be along a similar line?
Yeah, I mean, they've got different options here, right? They can either go down acquisition. If you think, you know, take Cobots, for example, mm-hmm. there's not really been any acquisitions by industrial robot vendors that they've developed their own solution. And, you know, they should be well equipped to develop their own mobile robot if they wish to go down that route. But mm-hmm. it's just mm-hmm. a question of, do they want to spend that time in development, or do they want to get ahead of the curve and, you know, potentially get a few years ahead by acquiring a company that already has that expertise and product lineup and certification and so on. I wouldn't be surprised to see some of those acquisitions. And the question is who, because some of the mobile robot companies have different ideas that are either going to hold and on for a little while longer, or maybe even go for an IPO or have other options.
Hmm. All right. Hold that thought, Ash, because we are going to put you on the spot. We're going to play the interview here with Sammy and Veronica, and then we want to close things out and we want some names, Ash. Who's the next mobile robotics company that's going to be scooped up, and get some closing thoughts on it. yeah, and get some closing thoughts from the three of us. But let's take an intermission here. Let's listen to Sammy Atiyah, president of ABB's Robotics and Discrete Automation business, and Veronica Pasquale, CEO and owner of ASTI Mobile Robotics. Again, I had a chance to sit down with them last week as they took me inside the acquisition and what they see going forward for both ABB's mobile robotics division, growth in China, growth over here in the U.S. For the mobile robotics division. So here's Sammy Atiyah and Veronica Pasquale.
By this point, you know, I watched the press conference and...
Did you like it?
Yeah, well, very well done, of course. Okay. No surprise there. And I know it seems like for ABB standpoint anyway, becoming sort of the one-stop shop, right, for your customers and future customers, right? So you have the big, you know, heavy-duty industrial arms, you got the cobot arms. Now you have a mobile robotics solution. So it makes a lot of sense, right? Is that basically the basics behind this is now you guys can bring all this stuff in-house and you have more tools in the tool shed for your customers?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, this acquisition is for us a real milestone and in the past, but this is a significant one. And for us, we were looking at the market and at some point we decided that coming from our customers, their ask to integrate, AMRs. We use the term AMR. That's okay. It's autonomous mobile robots into our solutions, and the synergies between both is increasing tremendously. And as especially after COVID, I mean, when we had the discussion with Veronica, I mean the vision that she had and our vision is very, very similar. I mean, at the end, it's really this reduce of lot size one at the end of the day, and that pressure that is putting on the whole and the infrastructure needed from production, logistics, and last mile, that all is really changing dramatically. And, you know, if you stick to the fixed line production, I mean, at some point you will lose business if you're not able to really reduce the lot size and have batches of changes. And, you know, I didn't figure out a better idea than, you know, having cells of robots, machines, intelligence, and then connecting them with AGVs and AMRs. And there we came together with this vision, and I think it's going to be a fantastic partnership.
What about, I think it was the lab that ABB opened in Texas.
Yes.
You mounted a Yumi onto a mobile base at one point for demonstration purposes, maybe. I'm not sure if that's actually up and running and doing work there, but what are your thoughts on, you know, potentially in Veronica way into if you feel you want to about combining maybe some of the cobot arm a mobile base, yeah, from it. So is that something you guys
maybe just on the Texas medical side? That's a study we did and it's a concept, and yeah. It I mean that setting is really quite cool because we have all the doctors, nurses, and lab technicians come in and see and they adjust and done, and it went very well. But we use technologies on the AGV side, but we think that there is a future for that as well. It is not the first, you know, step of where we're heading, but it's certainly an area where we'll invest and bring solutions to the market. The first area is, you know, AGVs and AMR standalone, Veronica's business, and then pushing, you know, that business through our existing channels, combining solutions where we still have, AMRs transporting material and finished goods, and then the last step will be the combination of robots and AMRs. But Veronica, your view?
I mean, I cannot add much more than what you said. Completely. Everyone thinks about mobile robots as having the platform plus the handling manipulation capacities on top of the AMR. But as Sammy was saying, there is much more to do than that. No, that's just part of the Which of course will grow a lot in the future, but remaining, there is a lot of possibilities into automating both manufacturing industries and logistic retail e-commerce industries with different type of automation needs and flexible needs and competitiveness needs. And therefore the combination of industrial robotics with mobile autonomous robotics is giving applications that bring big value.
You know, there's been a couple other AMR manufacturers that have been acquired of late, right? Sammy, maybe you guys saw the Fetch Robotics news. They were acquired just a couple of weeks ago. I think it was 2 weeks ago. I know you guys said you sort of have the same mentality and belief on, you know, with the customers and approach to the market and stuff like that. But can you give a little bit more specifics about why ASTI was sort of the right acquisition for you? Was it something, you know, was there a particular something about their system that was really impressive? I believe you've worked closely with them in the past at customer sites, so you had somewhat of a knowledge of their company. Any more specifics you can share with us about what really made this the right fit for both parties?
No, I certainly. I mean, we worked with ASTI and other vendors, and we liked what we saw in ASTI, but we also saw that they have one of the broadest portfolios in the market, plus the expertise in specific industries that are of interest to us. So not only automotive. I mean, it's really a blue chip, real names of the industry coming from, you know, Nestle, Procter & Gamble, Volkswagen, Peugeot. And really at the where the demand for quality and software and understanding of the domain is quite high. That is certainly one criteria. The other one is that we feel that we have tremendous synergies because ASTI is very strong in Europe with the largest installed base, I think for about 5,000 robots. And we are, you know, the champion in China. So what we will obviously do is we will now invest even more in Burgos, in the center in Europe, where Veronica is going to head that. But under her leadership, we'll also create a factory in China under the umbrella of the robotics factory as we're expanding our capacity there. We have more than 2,000 employees in China. So for us, that's another big leg that we're putting on. So the synergies, and the portfolio, and the same attitude and way of looking at the market and our vision was a perfect match, I would say.
Were you, maybe
Veronica, from your angle?
Yeah. Can I just ask a quick follow up, and then Veronica?
Yeah.
Was ABB specifically targeting a European company? You know, did it have to be a European company? Did you look at acquiring, you know, maybe I'm just using because I'm based in the U.S. a U.S.-based AMR company, or it just happened to be?
We scanned the whole market. It could have been a Chinese, U.S. or a European. Yeah. But in the grand picture, it was the perfect match at the end of the day.
Okay. So yeah, Veronica, to you. I mean, why do you think this is a family business for you, right? Is that correct?
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's been a great moment for your family. Why did you guys think that, you know, ABB was the ultimate fit for you? Obviously a global company that has a lot of different expertise in many areas and can help you ramp up manufacturing and scale deployments. But at the end of the day, what made ABB the perfect fit for you guys?
Well, the company was founded by my parents. I acquired the company from them in 2008, and we pivoted the business from material handling to AGVs and then AMRs, you know, the full portfolio of solutions. And there are several things that we have in common and that made this this match very interesting. First, as Sammy was saying, is when we say we have a common vision, it's not just like a, you know, marketing slogan. It's because, you know, it's the typical thing to say, but it's funded in the fact that we truly understand. I mean, we have both a strong experience in the industrial market. We understand how our our customers are evolving, the fact that being competitive is not enough, but you need to be competitive, but flexible, because the world is changing and consumption is changing, and therefore we need to facilitate other ways of flexible automation that enables this competitiveness. And when you have that as a background, then you understand that we both understand very well also the fact of doing projects based on products, the importance of software, and in all levels, there are a lot of synergies also, not only in the portfolio of solutions, but also in the software capabilities that that we have, but that, of course, ABB Robotics has developed in terms of digitalization of the value chain, which we, as Robot Studio, as we were sharing yesterday. So, and then, of course, is, increasing manufacturing capacity, increasing project capabilities because of having the 53 local business units that ABB is having, where we can give these local, no global, but local services. And then we have a lot of innovation synergies too. So there is, many things that make it very, very interesting and very positive, and that we are so enthusiastic about the project in front of us.
So I saw ASTI is targeting, was it like 51 million or 50 million, one of, right, in revenue for this year, which from my understanding is that's great for a mobile robotics company. Do you have any deployments in the US or China or other areas, or are they all in Europe? What can you tell us about just sort of where your robots have been spread out?
Well, the main volume of robots have been implemented in Europe, but we are working in 20 countries. So we have also implementations in US now ongoing in several big automotive customers in Tennessee, in Detroit, in different states. Also working for food industry, for consumer goods industry. So yeah, we have started working for some years ago already in US and scaling there. And also less proactive for the moment, but we have been following our customers in China too. So the customers that were, industrial companies that were also manufacturing in China, they were taking with them as part of their industry 4.0 concept, or call it as you want, or the want to be, everyone gives a different name. But at the end, is replicating a concept of the factory of the future that you take to the different regions, and of course the AMRs and the full connectivity to the flows was part of what we scaled with them in different countries and also China. Yes.
Maybe Sammy, you can answer this from way just to make sure I understand properly. Is ASTI, is it being rebranded to ABB, or is ASTI, is that not going away, or is it going away to more blend with ABB?
Well, ASTI will be rebranded to ABB. This agreement you had with Veronica, and we blended into our portfolio and use our strong brand in China and in the US and also in Asia to leverage our presence, but also the branding power we have. We will keep the integrity of the company. And that's why we are so happy that Veronica is going to stay as the head of the global AMR business of ABB. And we're going to invest in Burgos invest in China. Then maybe we are creating a huge new factory setup, including R&D research center in Shanghai. Opening is next year. And as part of that, we would have a special section for AMRs.
Okay. Oh, that's great. You just kind of touched on, keeping the culture of ASTI alive as you integrate it into ABB's business. Maybe just for both of you guys, Sammy, maybe you start. Just what are the keys to making sure this goes well? ABB's obviously integrated other acquisitions in the past, so it has a history of how things should be done, but just some of the keys to making sure this goes well.
Well, we had on this topic actually quite a lot of discussions with Veronica, and I myself have done many acquisitions myself, but I was also in companies that were acquired or smaller businesses. So this is a very important part of how we There are multi elements that I think are very in common, so we don't change. One of them is the love for technology. I was there in Burgos the last 2 days, and I was impressed by the people and the ingenuity of the colleagues. The other one is the absolute focus, almost religiously, on the customer. And these two we share, so there is no real big conflict. I think where smaller companies really have an advantage is their agility and being fast and adaptable to market changes. We have in robotics a concept that we call incubators, that we create teams that we take aside. You know, we launched the Cobot. This was part of the system. We took, you know, a team aside, put them, in Germany, worked with Sweden. We gave them full freedom to act and then run. When it's big enough, we bring them into the manufacturing and so on. So, and the last acquisitions we had actually went quite well. I mean, the last one was a big one, was Intrion in Belgium. It was a logistic provider, and we kept the integrity of the company. We changed the naming, but the team is still there. The former CEO is still in the company. And we make sure that they get enough freedom and oxygen. At the end of the day, it's also a balance between keeping everything as is, but using the platform that is provided by ABB, the service network, the sales network, and the manufacturing, you know, capacities that we have in anything. So it will be, you know, up to Veronica how she will utilize all of this thing without, touching these core elements of what made us so successful.
It's all on your shoulders, Veronica. same question to you. The keys to making sure that this goes, you know, as you guys all wish it goes.
Yeah, of course. And I think, for us, and part of the values that we declare, moreover than no customer service, which is for us so important, the customer focus in a service manner, and the innovation, teamwork, team spirit is very, very important for us, and innovation. There is another topic that we always say, which is the humbleness. Understand that we know what we know, and we don't know what we don't know, and we need to learn a lot, And we are doing this because we do not know everything. Because if we would know it, we wouldn't need to. There wouldn't have been synergies. And so the question here is, as Sami was saying, is understand what is it that needs to be kept, the essence of who we are and how we work and what make us so dynamic. But on the other hand, maximize the value of what is being brought to us, being part of this ABB family. And I think it's very important to promote this in the team so that, there is no defense approach, which happens many times on integrations, but on the other, instead of that we build this willingness learn and to learn from each other, to share and learn and build together. And that is what we need to be. You know, this is a day by day watering the plant, so that we always keep that in mind from my perspective.
Okay, great. Maybe I know you guys, we got to end this in a few minutes here, but Sami, and I don't want to phrase this the wrong way, do you wish mobile robotics is such a huge business? You guys, I think, are the third largest industrial robotics vendor. Is that right? Top three for sure.
In robotics or in mobile? In robotics,
the arms. Yeah.
Yeah, we are number two. I mean, depending how you count the numbers or you count the dollars, but we're on number two.
I'm not sure if any of the major industrial robot arm players have focused much on mobile robotics in the past, right? Obviously, you guys are doing that now. Is there any? Do you wish maybe you had done this sooner?
As I said that yesterday to the team, I my PhD was a mobile robots with the vision system and arms on it. Oh, wow. But that was 25 years ago. That was too far early. And I think 5 years ago, it was also early. I think really, we feel both that this is the perfect timing. I mean, at the end of the day, you feel it when you're close to your customers. And, you know, the project that we've been getting in and the request that having AGVs and AMRs part of our offering is just going up, either in logistics, manufacturing, cell building plus system, the fleet management connected to the robot, control. All of that is coming up. So we said to ourselves, you know, having separate vendors and then trying to figure this one out ourselves or make it core to our offering. That was the decision we made, and then we had a perfect match here, and then it's going to be really a game changer for us and value adding for our customers.
I talked with I don't know if you know Bob Little from ATI Industrial Automation.
No, I don't know him.
They just got acquired, I think 2 days ago by a company called Novanta, and he was just sharing his thoughts on, you know, he sees tremendous growth in the robotics industry, you know, the next 4 or 5 years, something like that. He said there was, you know, I think he said a downturn a little bit in 2019 and maybe last year, early in the year because of the pandemic. But maybe just, I think I know what you'll say here, but just both of you guys, just how you see the market growing in the next few years.
Yeah. Well, on one hand, when as you probably have seen, so the estimations that have been shared, this 30% CAGR, so annual growth on the AMR business until 2025, and we've seen 20% CAGR growth, and we've been growing previously 30%, even though from 2015 until now, even though we had in the middle the pandemic that didn't help, of course. But just all this to say that we really see there are trends that are pretty much game changers, and that the industry really has not that much option. Also, they need to go into automation, whether it's a manufacturing industry or logistic, retail, e-commerce. And in some cases, this will provide a new competitive edge and flexible edge in the part of logistics and e-commerce. I always say that this is just a facilitator. No, if you do not have certain automation, you just cannot operate at the volumes that the market is demanding. So there are so many consumer trends that are changing and that are demanding that the full value chain adopts, that this will generate a lot of traction in the market, and the growth that is being projected with these numbers of 14 billion dollars by 2025 in the global AMR business globally. I do not have all the numbers to know more about that estimation, of course, but what I can tell you is that we've been growing over the average of the market year over year without having the possibilities and the platform that ABB Robotics has. So if you take into account the market, the fact that pandemia has accelerated trends that were previously identified and that are game changers because the consumption has changed, therefore retail is changing, e-commerce is changing, industrial manufacturing is changing. So if you sum market trends and the fact that we are combining a great portfolio of flexible solutions, this is bringing like a very good formula for growth in front of us.
Sammy, what about you mentioned your customers often looking for a mobile robotic solution. How much has COVID sort of accelerated the awareness or the need?
We did a survey actually the beginning of the year with more than 1,500 customers and companies that we serve and don't serve, and it was interesting. Was 84% of them said they will excel 84% they will accelerate investment in robotics worldwide, and I mean, looking at the market at the moment and confirming what Veronica said, in many industries, it's just gonna really continue to grow. It is a little bit differentiated because in automotive, as you know, it was always where we started as all the robot companies. We saw a slowdown already beginning of 19 and COVID even tempered it. But what we are seeing at the moment in logistics, in retail, pharmaceuticals, healthcare, is really, unbelievable. I mean, this is the need for robots, the need to become independent and be more resilient when something similar happens. I mean, the flexibility that you need with all these changes in trade, I mean, even automotive, over the next 10 years, you'll have to produce 3 to 4 types of cars on this, in the same manufacturer, EV, hybrid, full electric, and combustion. So how do you do that if you and nobody really knows what will come first and how fast.
Yeah.
So you have to be flexible, to Veronica's point. If you don't do it, you will lose a big portion of your possibility to grow the business. So I think COVID really accelerated a lot of these trends. So I agree with the comment that you made before, that the next 4 or 5 years will be really in full automation. And we call it flexible automation.
All right, Ash. So, you know, thanks again for sticking around for that interview there. Again, we want to put you on the spot. I have some ideas as to who might be next, but who give us a mobile robotics company that you think people should keep an eye on as far as an acquisition goes.
Yeah, I mean, it's a tough one, so don't like quote me on this. But my guess is, let's think about some of the leaders in the space that are privately held. You know, it could be companies like Otter Motors, there's Seagrid, there's Vecna. Mm-hmm. There's a few out there which are now pretty sizable, you know, tens right. of millions of dollars in turnover, hundreds of customers and deployments. So, you know, potentially someone like that.
I thought both of, you know, you mentioned Seagrid and Vecna, both of those came to mind to me as well. Also because of, you know, they're both been around for a while, Jim Roth and Daniel Theobald, super well known and respected in the industry, but they also have a pretty diverse product portfolio, right? I mean, I think that probably plays a pretty important role too. ASTI has a pretty diverse, you know, pretty diverse offerings.
Yeah, they do, but they have diverse, but then they are actually pretty well specialized. You know, they solve certain problems within their clients, within their customers, really effectively. You know, going after sea grids, like heavy payload applications, lots of tuggers and tow tractors. And then you've got companies like Otter Motors that has really solid mobile platforms. So I don't know. Who knows? don't put any money on it.
Well, you know, I think you're onto something, Ash, when we talk about the heavy payload robots, because they certainly aren't represented here. And yet there's been a lot of competition. Companies like Agilox, a Swiss company. Who I think have built some interesting technology as well. Yeah. And you also mentioned, you know, earlier with Teradyne and, you know, their acquisition of the heavier payload. So, you know, I think there's a few of those companies. Sure, they're specialists, but you know, they could even, you know, be combined with some of the other technologies, especially in the warehouse play. There's a lot of the warehouse solution companies that are profitable now in the last year. I would imagine still, in that growth game, that you know, could find themselves combined with or acquired by maybe not a robot company, but, you know, some of the larger warehouse integration companies, a Dematic or some of those big companies that you know, play the whole warehouse end to end game, that want to add another piece to their puzzle.
Right, exactly.
I've heard some breaking news sounder. I don't know if we need one of those, but some tough times for AutoGuide. You know, Mike, you alluded to them a couple of times. Someone has told me a pretty major software issue, a problem scaling their software. So they've let a few people go. They spun out of an integration firm down in Kentucky called Heartland Automation. So Teradyne's really put the pause on basically selling and installing the AutoGuide system until they fixed this solution. So they had to let go of a bunch of integrators down at Heartland, because if they're not integrating the robots, then they don't need the integrators, right? So very interesting time. But I guess, Ash, sort of to wrap things up here, just final thoughts on the acquisition. Again, you seem pretty high on it, but what should we be keeping an eye out for in the mobile robotics space in the near future?
Yeah, I mean, just more growth, more deployments, probably more innovation, and almost certainly more acquisitions, I would say. You know, this industry isn't going away. It's getting big now.
Do you think I should ask you this? Do you think Locus is going to go public? And if I'm putting you on the spot, we can cut this out. But I talked with Rick Falk a few months ago after they raised their $150 million round. Mm-hmm. And he said an IPO seems like potentially a logical next step for them. Again, probably primarily as a funding tool. But is that a viable play for a mobile robotics company?
I mean, the valuation, famously one of the first unicorns, right, in this space.
Yeah, so right. Yep.
Not the first, so. And they're growing quick. You know, their model, they're on a RAS model, so that their revenues are growing quickly.
And it's capital intensive, right? So, I mean, being
RAS. It is. Yeah. It's capital intensive. But you know, if it's a $1 billion valuation 3 months ago, in 12 months' time, that could easily be $5 billion. So who's going to afford to buy them out? I don't know. Unless it's some like Walmart in or an Alibaba, I don't know. Maybe an IPO is probably the right way to raise more funding and to get some kind of exit.
Well, you heard it there first that Walmart buys Locus. So let's see if that prediction comes true in the next 5 years.
Well, hey, man, this was fun. Thanks for doing this with us, Ash. Do you want to plug your mobile robotics report? Is that something that you guys have coming out?
Yeah, sure. So we publish a report every year. We've actually got some data coming out this week, just showing the latest numbers on mobile robots. Interesting stuff. Another good year last year, double-digit growth. And we'll be putting out some new forecasts soon, which I'll share with you guys as well. So if you're interested in AGVs and AMRs, then yeah, check us out on our website, intractanalysis.com.
Awesome. Yeah, we'll make sure we have a link to your website there in the show notes, and I'm sure we'll be sharing the report or links to the report when it comes out later this week. So look forward to reading that. Ash Sharma, Managing Director of Interact Analysis. Thanks again, man.
Yeah, thanks, Steve. Thanks, Mike.
Also want to thank Sammy Atiyah for joining the show this week, President of ABB's Robotics and Discrete Automation Business, as well as Veronica Pasquale. Again, she was the CEO and owner of ASTI Mobile Robotics. So we'll be keeping an eye out on how ABB continues to grow its mobile robotics division. New episodes of the podcast drop each week. You can find us on Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, SoundCloud, Spotify, anywhere you get your podcast. Please subscribe, leave us a rating, give us a review. On behalf of Mike Oitzman and the entire Robot Report crew, I'm Steve Crow. Thanks again, everyone, for tuning in. Enjoy the rest of your day. We'll talk to you again next week.